I'm so grateful that here in our congregation that we spend about 30 minutes in worship. It just expresses often what's on my heart. And I just really appreciate that we can spend that time just worshiping God. I just really appreciate the songs and the worship that you. And Brother Steve, thank you so much for the devotional. It was quite a blessing. It was really a blessing. I think about what you shared about, you know, our words. You know, what we speak comes from the heart. And I just had to think about this week. In our business, we our driveway is pretty small, so we can't get a big truck in. So we parked out on the road to load a piece of equipment. And I know it's dangerous, it's not the best thing to do, but that's what we did. And so a guy comes up in behind, and he had to stop because there was another car coming the other way. And he blows his horn, and I was just walking out from the driveway there. And then he goes on over and talks to the driver there and asks why he's sitting there. He said, well, I can't get in the driveway to load this piece of equipment. So he goes in front of the vehicle, stops, comes back, and he wants to back the truck in. And he was complaining that, you know, we made him wait. And so here he is. And then I was right there. I said, I come towards him. And he said, can I back this truck in there? I said, no, you can't. And then he starts cursing at me and telling me how wrong I am. I said, well, thanks for telling me. You know, I know that we shouldn't be on the road here, but right now this is the situation. And he didn't know what to do with it. And he just continued just really cursing me out. And I was like, well, it doesn't bother me. I mean, and here he was complaining that we made him wait. But it gave me a burden for him. He needed Christ. He needed the blood of Jesus. He really did. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 25. And I am really looking forward to Easter, the day of Easter, Good Friday, what's coming up. And I thought, what was happening before that? What was happening before Christ was crucified? And we went through John in the beginning of the year with this 17, and we saw a little bit what Jesus was teaching his disciples there. But I thought, you know what? I wonder what Matthew has to say. So I went there, and so Matthew 25 is the text that I want, but I'm just going to go back a little bit, and especially 23. In 23, we see that Jesus is in the temple, and he is talking with the religious leaders. And there is quite a conflict going on. And what the conflict is, he is bringing out what for hypocrites they are. Here they are, they have something that they're trying to push on the people, but they're not doing that to themselves. And and it looks like they're mad. It looks like there's really some things going on there that just, and then he calls them serpents, a generation of vipers. And then in 37, Matthew 23, verse 37, to the end, it says he grieves over Jerusalem. Here was a group of men, here was a group of people that were called to represent Christ. Here they are to represent Christ. And they missed the mark. And then we see in 24, Matthew 24, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to shew him the building of the temple." Now, I'm not sure what all that means, but I'm just going to maybe give some observation of what I thought. So here we have Jesus, he's leaving the temple. I think he knows this is last time. And the disciples don't know that. And so they're trying to encourage, he said, "Look at this temple, this beautiful temple." And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there should not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And here in verse 3 it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So that's the backdrop of what 25 is. So he continues 24 there, and he's just sharing with them. He's teaching them to be ready for his return. Watch. And to remain watchful. So then we come to Matthew 25. And here again, let's just remember, Jesus is talking here. He is teaching his disciples. There's three parables in Matthew 25 here. And the first one, I'm going to read Matthew 25. If you can, let's stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to read from 1 to 13. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so. Let there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy it for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you have made a way for us through Jesus Christ. As we come to you, Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would minister through us. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. You can be seated. The title of my message this morning is, "Are You Ready and Waiting on the Return of Jesus Christ?" So Matthew 25, we see, again, I want to emphasize, Jesus is speaking here. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." So as we look at this, there's 10 virgins, and if you'd see them on the street, they would probably all look the same. There's probably not an obvious difference here. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Isn't that how it is in general today? There's some in the church that are wise and some that are foolish. They look the same. You wouldn't know the difference. And I'm not saying that's in our church. I'm saying in general. Three. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Here we see the wise, not just the lamps, but they also have the vessels. So they're come prepared. Again, the call or the cry here is, there's 10 virgins that have been invited to the wedding. And there's 5 that are ready, wise, and 5 that were foolish. So verse 5, while the bridegroom tarrieth, they all slumbered and slept. So here was a call. The call was made. You're welcome. Come to the wedding. But the bridegroom here is waiting. It says it tarried. The bridegroom tarrieth. And they all slumbered and slept. Now, we don't think that slumbering or sleeping is a sin. But what we see here, the bridegroom tarried. It waiteth. There was a waiting period here, just like for us. Jesus, most of us here have given our life to Christ, and we have not been raptured. We are waiting for his return. And it says, at midnight, there was a cry made. Again, I don't want to go, it says midnight, so I'm not going to say it was right the next day, but this is, I would just want to leave this with you. At midnight could also mean that time was going on. Time is going on, and we don't know when his return is. You know, and it says here, there was a cry made. And behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. One day, we're going to hear that sound. Jesus is coming. No more. There'll be no more time to repent. There'll be no more time to make things right. It's going to be over. It says, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose. And it says they all arose, so they were all anticipating. Are we good? Okay. So they were all anticipating the bridegroom, and they all trimmed their lamps. And then, this is the difference between the foolish and the wise. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So is that saying that at one time they were lit, and now they're going out? That's what it says. It says our lights have went out. There could be a couple ways to look at that. You know, I'm not sure how that was, you know, if it tried to light them and then just went out, or if they actually were burning at one time and then went out. So I guess what I see here, there's a waiting period. Thank you. And the light went out. And so easily, that can happen to us. We have accepted Christ. made him the Lord of our life. But life gets tough. We get weary. And we say, you know what? It might be easier going the other way, just giving this up. It's not an option if we want to meet Christ. Another way that our lights can go out is by compromise. A little bit here, a little bit there. You know, it's not all of a sudden you turn, but just compromise, turning a little bit here and there. I am not saying that's how it is, but I'm just saying how it could be. If we have one time, our lights were shining, and we have turned, and now they're out. But what a horrible discovery that would have been. Here we have. We have lights, but the lamps don't go on. What a discovery. And the bridegroom's coming. Then verse 9, and the wise answering saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go you rather to them that sell, and buy it for yourselves. This is personal. I cannot do it for you. You cannot do it for me. Father cannot do it for son, and son can't do it for father. Mother can't do it for mother. Mother can't do it for daughter. Daughter can't do it for mother. Husband can't do it for wife. Wife can't do it for husband. It is a personal thing. Your relationship, it's you and God. There is, you know, give us of your oil. What is that oil? There could be some debate on that probably, but in the Word of God, we often see the word that oil is representing the Holy Spirit. We cannot be saved. We cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us. Now, I'm just leaving at that. I'm in verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready. Ready is a good word. They were ready. Went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. It's final. It was shut. So, what does it take to be ready? Just some thoughts again. God is a holy God. And without Christ, we are sinners. Without Jesus Christ, we are sinners. And there is a gulf, great gulf, between those two. Our faith in Jesus, our faith in Christ, helps us reunite with Him, the Lord, Father. Jesus is the only provision for people's sin. Through Him alone, we can know God personally and experience God's love. Why? First, He died in our place. God commended, Romans 5, verse 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us while we are yet sinners. And He rose from the dead. Now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. What a comfort that is. That's an amazing truth. Someone paying the debt that I owed. And the door was shut. Again, it would be its final. One day, that door will be shut. There's no more time for us to repent. No more time for us to make things right. Afterward came also the other version saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered, again, Jesus is talking here. I just want to make sure that we don't get lose sight of that. Jesus is speaking here. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. Brothers and sisters, what does that look like? What does it mean to know Jesus? What does it mean to know God? And I just, my thoughts go to, the thing that I want to bring out is that we would shut the door. I'm not sure how it is. That we would shut the door and where everything else is blocked out. Go into your closet. Yeah, I'm not sure how. But go into your closet and leave everything out. And it's between you and God. Between you and God. And what does that look like? I just think about just talking to God. It's like a father and son. Talking to God. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus. Paid the debt for my sin. God, I missed it today. I've lashed out. Please forgive me. God, I need wisdom today. God, there's people that I know that don't know you, that are not in your kingdom. God, I know that Eli and Fanny need a home. Can you give us wisdom? Talking to God and blocking everything else out. Make sure that you know God and He knows you. It goes on. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Wherein the Son of Man cometh. There is a day coming. There is a day coming where we will not be preaching about Jesus is coming back. We'll not be preaching that anymore. Watch therefore. And then, so there's a waiting period. Jesus, the call is out. You are invited to this wedding. I'd just like to go back to Matthew 22. Verse 11. It says, and when the king came to see the guests. Okay, let's go back a little bit farther. So again, Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking about the wedding feast. Go ye therefore, in verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Does the wedding garment, is it important? It is. Here we have a picture of a wedding. And in that, there was a custom that everyone coming to the wedding, they got the person in charge, whatever, gave them a cloak, gave them a coat. They all looked the same. There was no difference. and there's one person who's in there and don't have this robe on. Do you think he thought, well, I can just go in with my own clothes? I'm only sharing that. It's a parable. The wedding garment is important. The robe of righteousness, which only comes through Jesus Christ. So we must be ready when that wedding comes, when the bridegroom cometh. It goes on from 14. To verse 30. I'm not going to read it. Yeah, I could. I'm going to read it. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to other 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawn. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawn. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money in the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath given, for every one that shall that hath shall be given, and he that have abundance from him, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, then shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, here we see another parable. So Jesus isn't coming back. Isn't back yet. What are we doing with what he has given us? So I looked a little bit, what is a talent? A talent is 20 years of wages. 1 talent. And it was back then, I think it would be for now. So he gives one of them he gives 5, and to the other 2. And he says he gives it to his, according to his servile ability, to their ability. He gave them according to how faithful they were, I believe. They have been faithful with little, and God entrusted them with much. And the one goes and makes 5 more, and the other goes and makes 2 more. That's a pretty good return, isn't it? But then there's one that takes the talent and does nothing with it. Does nothing with it. And that person there, he called him lazy, slothful, wicked, because he did nothing with that talent. Now, I recognize here it says talents. It's talking about talents, about money. But what about the other resources that God gives? What about our time? What about the gifts that he gives us? What about, just other resources that God gives us? What are we doing with them? Are we using them for God's kingdom? So many times, we can try and build our own kingdom. But it's for God's kingdom. Advance his kingdom. And again, coming back, he gives each one those gifts and talents, and he gives them to their ability. He doesn't give them more than they can handle. And it just, again, I look at that as a, our gifts, our talents, our whatever our resources. He doesn't give us more that we can handle. And some of us, here he says, here he gave some five. He can handle, that person can handle that. And the reward of that, he was faithful. He was faithful. That's the message we want to get out here. He was faithful with what he got, what he gave, what was given to him. And even the one that had two talents, he was faithful with what God, he was faithful with God, what God has given him. Are we faithful with the talents, with the gifts, with the time that God gives us, the resources? Are we being faithful? I'll let you answer that for yourself. And then the lazy one, the wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest not, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawn. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own unsure. That unsure means interest. I could at least got interest from that. He did nothing with it. What are we doing with the gifts and talents, resources that God gives us? Are we using it for his glory? I'm looking forward to testimony time. I'm sure there's probably some people that can maybe explain this better. So I'm just going to move through this. Then, at the end here, Matthew 25, from 31 to 46. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them, on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, You have done it unto me. That's our logo, isn't it? I think that's what the bull and towel means. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Again, we see there is sheep and there's goats. And out in the pasture, they would be together, and you would see the difference, but they could go well with each other. But on Judgment Day, there would be a separation. The ones that were committed, and then there was some that was maybe pretenders, if I'm going to say that. It will be separated. And again, here we see Jesus. He's making a point here. The point here is, what are you doing till I come again? There's a waiting period. What are you doing till I come again? And here it says, and I had to think about Wednesday evening. I think you mentioned some faith with is... Are we good? Okay. So here we are. Here we see faith in Christ is very important. Our faith in Christ. But then there's also without the works that follow. Is that? And here we see that as we do unto others, we're doing it, if we're doing it for Christ, if we're doing it for Jesus, he recognizes that. And I believe as we do those works, we're not, you know, thinking, oh, I did this work or not. No, it's because Christ in us. The faith that we have in Christ is because that's what's coming out of us. We want to serve the ones that are needy. And we don't really pay attention to what we're doing. I had to think about even Paul, or Saul, I guess it was, when he was on his way to Damascus, persecuting the Christians, and then a light came and knocked him down. And then how Jesus said, what you do to them is what you're doing to me. And I believe that is very true for us today. If we, whatever we do to other person, it's as we're doing to Jesus Christ. And then those in 41, Is it because they did not have compassion? It says, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's one place I hope nobody in this room has to go. It's eternity, forever. It's no joke. It's forever. And he goes on, For I was a hunger, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into eternal life, life eternal. Again, it does matter what we do. It does matter. So as we look at these three different parables here, what I wrote down, the parables clarify what it means to be ready for his return and how to live until he comes. So the first parable, every person is responsible for his spiritual condition. Every person. That's what we saw in the first parable there. The second one shows how important it is to use what God has entrusted to us. God has given us, each one of us, gifts. And think, well, they're not as important. Well, if we compare with someone else, you know, it's, no. Look, take your eyes off of someone else. Take your eyes, look to Jesus. And say, Jesus, how can I use this gift and talent for the glory of God? God gives some people really exceptional talents. And I appreciate that. And I cannot be like that. I cannot be like that person. You cannot be like someone else. You are, each one is individual. And you come to God and say, God, how can I use this gift and talent for your glory? And then the third one, in the third parable there, it stresses the importance of serving others in need. Each parable here paints one part of a whole picture. This whole, the book of 25, each part of these parables paint one part of the whole picture. I'm going to leave that with you. May God bless you.